Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields. Welcome again, Food for the Journey. And today we look ahead to the readings for this Sunday. It is the second Sunday in Ordinary Time. And the first reading is taken from chapter 62 of Isaiah, verses 1 to 5. For Zion's sake, I will not be silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet until her vindication shines forth like the dawn and her victory like a burning torch. Nations shall behold your vindication and all the kings your glory. You shall be called by a new name pronounced by the mouth of the Lord. You shall be a glorious crown in the hand of the Lord, a royal diadem held by your God. No more shall people call you forsaken or your land desolate, but you shall be called my delight and your land espoused. For the Lord delights in you and makes your land his spouse. As a young man marries a virgin, your builder shall marry you. And as a bridegroom rejoices in bride, so shall your God rejoice in you. God loves his people. Like a bridegroom loves his bride, God has great love for his people. You shall no longer be forsaken or desolate. You shall be called my delight, espoused. As a young man marries a virgin, your builder shall marry you. As a bridegroom rejoices in his bride, so shall your God rejoice in you. There is often wedding, marriage analogies to God's relationship with us. God wed himself to us in Christ. He shed his blood for us that we might have union with him. He died for us. Think about that. God is not someone far off. God is not isolated. God is not separated. God is very near you right now. Very near you. Has great love for you as individuals and as a people. How much do you love him? How much are you willing to follow him? Think about it. The images all through the Old Testament, there are other images, but the image of bride and bridegroom is very strong. The bride is his church. It's us. We're the church. How much do you love him? How much do you talk to him? How much do you walk with him? How much do you show your love to him? God longs to love you. But as I've said hundreds of times, he gave us a free will. He'll never violate our free will. Men and women, he loves you. Wants union with you. Psalm 96 says, proclaim his marvelous deeds to all the nations. Sing to the Lord a new song. Can there be a new song in your heart? A song you've never sung before in a sense to God? And I say this for men as well as women. Can there be a new song in your heart? Worship the Lord in holy attire. Tremble before him all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord is king. He governs the peoples with equity. Do we give him praise? Are we afraid to praise him? Are we afraid publicly to say anything about our relationship with God? When you love someone, you can't keep quiet. When you're loved by someone, you can't keep quiet. Why are we so still about our relationship with God? Why are we embarrassed by it sometimes? Why do we try to excuse or minimize it? Think about that. What pain that must bring to the heart of God when we do that. He who loves us and who will never stop loving us. Even when we turn our backs to him, he continues to love us. The second reading is Paul's letter to the Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 to 11. Brothers and sisters, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different forms of service, but the same Lord. There are different workings, but the same God who produces all of them in everyone. To each individual, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for some benefit. To one is given through the Spirit the expression of wisdom. To another, the expression of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, mighty deeds. To another, prophecy. To another, discernment of spirits. To another, varieties of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit produces all of these, distributing them individually to each person as he wishes. Brothers and sisters, when we know we're loved by God, even before we know we're loved by God, God bestows gifts on us, baptism and confirmation. There are a lot of gifts. And Paul speaks of the gifts of service. Do you remember my telling you a long time ago that the gifts of Isaiah, wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, fear of the Lord, they're the gifts. Isaiah, you can read it, Isaiah 52, I believe. If you read that section, you'll see what the gifts of the Spirit are. And those gifts are given to help us to become like him. And then the gifts in 1 Corinthians are the gifts that are given to us to help us reach out in his love to the needs of other people and draw them into that same relationship with God that we have. That's the whole purpose. And see, if we really love God, really love him, and allow ourselves to be loved by him, it's easier then to get rid of jealousy and envy and, well, I want that gift. Well, I don't want that gift. Well, I don't like the way she uses that gift. All that kind of stuff that's anathema to why God wants to give us gifts. He wants us to have these gifts so that we can help other people to know how loved they are. He gives the gifts to us so that we can reach out, that he can work through us to bring his love to many, many people. I mean, he says in that first reading how he loves us so much that he delights to call us his own. And then he gives us gifts that come from him, and each of us are given different gifts. We don't necessarily get to pick them, but by a process of exercising them, we begin to find which gifts are real and which maybe we don't have. We'd like to have that gift. We wish that person didn't have that gift. Don't get into that. Bow down before the Lord and say, Lord, I love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Lord, I want to follow you all the days of my life. Equip me to bring the gospel just by the way I live, just by the way I relate. That's huge. Give me gifts that I might bring people to know you and love you and serve you. That's what we want. That's what we want. Don't use the gifts to advance yourself. That can really be evil when we do it consciously. They won't produce fruit, and we will one day meet the judgment of God. The gifts of God are to be used for the purposes that God wants, not to advance my name, my reputation, nothing. To him be the glory, always. Then the gifts will really flourish in our hearts. Let's take a look here at the Gospel, John chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. This powerful, powerful passage of how good God is in the wedding feast at Cana. There was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the wedding. When the wine ran short, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. And Jesus said to her, woman, how does your concern affect me? In other words, this is not my time. I'm not supposed to be revealing who I am yet. It's really what he's saying. Woman, how does your concern affect me? I know you're concerned that these people are going to be embarrassed because they've run out of wine. I understand that. But how does that affect me? My hour has not yet come. And notice what Mary does. Now, here's an obedient son. Look what Mary does. She turns to the waiters and she says, do whatever he tells you. She gives him full authority. She doesn't nag him. She just says, do whatever he tells you to do. I can imagine what was going on in those moments. Now, there were 6 stone water jars there for Jewish ceremonial washings, each holding 20 to 30 gallons. Think of that. My goodness, what a huge supply of wine for a wedding. Each 6 water jars, each holding 20 to 30 gallons. And Jesus told them, fill the jars with water. So they filled them to the brim. And then he told them, now draw out some and take it to the head waiter. So they took it. And when the head waiter tasted the water that had become wine, without knowing where it came from, although the servers who had drawn the water knew, the head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, everyone serves good wine first. And then when people have drunk freely, an inferior one. But you have kept the good wine until now. Jesus did this as the beginning of his signs at Cana in Galilee, so revealed his glory, and his disciples began to believe in him. Notice what he did was an act of hospitality, an act of generosity, an act to protect. How this poor couple must have felt that they didn't have what was needed. Wine had run short. And Jesus, at the little bit of a push from his mother, Jesus used that occasion to begin his public ministry. Brothers and sisters, don't despise any act of generosity. Look around you, and where you see a need, try to meet it. Reach out. Go beyond yourself. I don't have time. Somebody else could do it. Maybe somebody else could do it, but you're the one seeing it, and it needs to be done now. How generous are you? You see, we belong to God, and if we belong to God, our priorities, our thoughts, our words, our actions should more and more, as time goes by, conform to His. We are His. We belong to Him. So we want to draw closer and closer to Him so that we begin to learn. We draw closer to Him by reading His Word every day, by praying every day, by receiving the sacraments as often as possible, by going to daily Mass if it is at all possible. I'm not saying those things so you mount up all kinds of good works. I'm saying those things because those are the ways in which God draws us into intimacy with Him. And then when we do good deeds for others, we're not just bringing our kindness or our generosity. We're bringing Him. We're bringing Him. He becomes present. And brothers and sisters, there's no greater wonderful delight in life than to know that you're a disciple of Jesus and that He walks with you. May you know that grace as well. God bless you. As we prepare for this year of mercy, which will begin this December, I want to make available to you a free copy of my booklet, Captured by Mercy. I'm going to be speaking on this program a great deal about the true meaning of mercy, but I'd like you to have a free copy of my booklet now, Captured by Mercy. You can receive it simply by calling this number, 1-800-282-4789.